Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Donison strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop, the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. Now the Aussies have wrapped up two series wins against the West Indies and it is time to get stuck into WBBL mode. So joining LJ and I on the show today is the one and only Mel Jones, who gives her take on all the big talking points heading into the ninth season of the WBBL. But before we get to Mel, a reminder that BKT Big Bash Tipping is back and it is bigger than ever. Pick the team you think will win each match this WBBL season and you could win some epic prizes, including $10,000 for the top tipper overall. There's also nothing wrong with just playing for fun, so join or create a league to take on your friends, family and colleagues. It's free and easy to join. Just head to tipping.cricket.com.au and sign in with your cricket ID to get started. Good luck, and here is Mel Jones. Mel Jones, great to see you. Thank you for joining us on the Scoop podcast today in a Weber store. Bit of a barbecue question to start things off, Mel.
Oh.
If you're having a barbecue,
yep.
Mates are coming over.
Yeah.
What's on the menu?
Okay. I'm a pizza person. I love cooking lots of different things.
Okay.
So I wouldn't just go like a big rack of lamb.
Yeah.
So I'd have a little rack of lamb.
Okay.
I'd have maybe sort of like that Portuguese flattened chicken.
Beautiful.
Kind of piece.
You've done this before.
I have done it. I'm very fortunate to have a Weber at home. I like some snags. I always love to have a snag on a barbie. Love doing corn on the cob and
Beautiful.
Veggies. And then, a couple of mates always steak goes. So
okay.
There'd be multiple going.
Nice.
It's just the timing of it all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Awaiting our invite.
There we go. Post the final.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, love it.
So WBBL is about to get underway, one of our favourite times of the year. Are you pumped for it to all get underway shortly?
I'm always pumped for WBBL because it's our homegrown domestic competition, and you've just seen how the comp has just grown in so many different ways, and you just know that everyone wants to play in it as well.
Yeah.
So you're always pumped about that. There is, I think, just a different element about this year. I think probably because of the draft.
Mm.
I know we're going to delve into it a little bit deeper, but I think when you have a draft like that and you get the quality of players coming out, you always get really, really excited. I think for me also, the coaching side of things, like you've got Charlotte Edwards, whose record of late, she's taken all the teams to 12 finals. You know, she's won four comps in this year alone. You're like, that's huge. Lisa Kightley comes back into the fold. And then you've got new coaches like Jude Coleman and Beck Grundy. That super excites me. So you've got the quality players, you've got the coaches, and then you've got a big year of T20 cricket coming up, the World Cup. So you know players are just champing at the beat to get out there and put their best foot forward. So there's a wonderful combination of pieces of the puzzle to say that this probably could be the best year yet.
Love it, Mel. Mm. And you spend a lot of time talking to players, getting amongst them. Do you reckon they love it as well?
Yeah, they do. And for probably maybe even not the reasons that everyone probably expects. I think part of it is that they know they're going to get the skill set tested all the way through. That's a given. I think, too, they know that it's the shop front window for Australian cricket to attract new people into the sport, you know, whether it's fans or, you know, young girls coming through and playing the game as well. And I think they love doing that. I think they really enjoy it. And there's a real camaraderie within the core players within all the mm-hmm. teams too. So you look at the Adelaide Strikers and what it meant to them. Not just winning it, but they're all they're South Australian girls. There's a little bit of what is it? Sister man. So I was going to say bromance, and that's not right. Sisterhood going on there. So so there is definitely an affinity to the WBBL. Yeah.
And it all kicks off at North Sydney this week, but at the end of the season, we're going to see the teams go back to some of the biggest grounds in Australia for the Stadium Series. Are you excited for this next step in the league?
Yeah, hugely so. I think the competition's ready for it. It was interesting coming back off the Ashes where they had sold out grounds for the T20s.
Yeah.
And I think that was just a little bit of probably a catalyst to say, no, we've, here in Australia, we've been the leaders in so many things. Excuse me, that it's just sort of been the natural progression. The difficulty for us in Australia is that our grounds are a lot bigger.
They're so big.
They're massive, aren't they? So if you get that same crowd at Lords in at the MCG,
totally.
it's sort of the bottom tier sort of piece. But I think we're going to be brave. We've been brave with the WBBL for so many years, and this is just the next progression.
Mel, you did an outstanding job of hosting the first ever WBBL draft. Thoughts, feelings?
So I'm still having nightmares about a few things.
Excellent job. Not an easy job. You nailed it as per usual. What did you think? How did you see it all unfold?
We were all nervous. Because we've, Megan Barnard, Elisa Healy, Julia Price, myself, because we'd never really sort of done something like that either. And just sort of, we'd do mock drafts to try and figure out where teams would go, what they were going to try and do. And we were sort of semi-close, but then we didn't want to do too many drafts because we didn't want to sort of get something in our head that we thought was definitely going to happen and then all of a sudden it doesn't. And then that's where I'm walking across the stage a couple of times going, no, that's not right. Back you go, Jones. So there was certainly a nervousness about it. And there was the nerves that you just want to make sure that the best players in the world are getting picked up, all that sort of thing as well. And you could tell that the coaches, they were nervous doing it. I think we eased on into it. I mean, I think there was certainly the piece around the amount of passing in the second and third rounds. That we were certainly going to address because that's not great for TV.
Did you see that coming?
We sort of thought, because there was the direct signings, we knew there were so many direct signings.
Yeah.
And then just with the salary cap and all those sorts of pieces. And then the fact that, potentially they can still pick up, Adepadu came in late, all those sorts of things, that there was certainly going to be an option for that. So,
yeah, any surprises with who went number one from your point of view?
No, I think everyone just sort of tried to make sure that everyone was reasonably happy with that one. I think Soph was always going to stay at the Scorchers, so why try and pick her even if you wanted her when that was just going to happen? So that was probably more for TV than anything else. And you can't tell me that no team would want Cappy in their side as well. Just wins all round, really. Yeah.
Which team out of the eight teams do you reckon has got the strongest contingent of overseas players?
You can look at it two ways. You could just look at it purely on the name, their performances and their stats. Mm. And then you can look at purely, not purely, but also on the players that come in and what they actually value add to the squad themselves in terms of making it really, really balanced, which probably leads me to saying that I'm going to be sitting on the fence here a little bit. No, I'm not. But I think when I do look at it, and I look at form and I look at ability to really shift the squad four and things like that, I do look at the Melbourne Renegades.
Yep.
So, I mean, Hayley Matthews, she's just got runs running through her veins at the moment. it's serious. I like to see her in the Women's Premier League and not get picked up to start with and then get picked up late by the Mumbai Indians and then come out as player of the tournament. I mean, we saw what she did against the Aussies.
Unbelievable.
It's just, I mean, it's so, so good to watch.
She hits, the sound off the bat.
Yeah. I said that one year about I wanted Sophie Devine six hitting, I think it was at the final, up at AB Field, my ringtone, and someone actually clipped it together, so I might go Hayley Matthews for this summer. She didn't have, she had an injured shoulder during the 100, but I think she's back from that, so her bowling's going to be critical as well. Harmanpreet Kaur, we saw what she did in WBBL 07, and they sort of counteract each other with their styles of play. Hayley Matthews can go up and over and down the ground, and Kaur's so good square of the wicket. And then she got the wickets in WBBL 07, which I wasn't expecting as well, and leadership. And then you add Tammy Beaumont.
I know. Scary prospect.
It's just wow.
How important is that Tammy signing going to be given Sophie Molyneux is unfortunately not going to be back in time for this tournament, and they probably knew that when they signed Tammy as well.
I know it's just sort of you know, recently come out about Soph, but still gutted. Like, we sort of knew it probably going to happen.
I know, it sucks.
Yeah, no good there at all. Yeah, massive signing. Because Tammy's also one of these players, like, she's captain of the Welsh Fire. She invests herself in the club and in the values and all those that side of things as well. So I think that's great for the Melbourne Renegades. So you sort of put someone like that into the side. Hayley Matthews has been there for a few years. Jess Duffin coming back and understanding that side of club and team as well. I think that just adds another little layer to it as well. So, so Tammy is huge and a wealth of experience.
Yeah.
And is in ECB Player of the Year now. Just absolutely hitting runs for fun as well.
Have you spoken to Jess Duffin about how she's
I haven't actually, no.
Excited to see her come back.
Well, because she just embarrasses you then, because, you know, she goes away, she plays multiple sports, has a kid, you can't play. You're like, here I am just sitting here, you know.
Well, you're fine.
You know, all cramped and just going out for a daily walk. So, I haven't spoken to her yet. But she is one of those players. Even when that first time she came back, she was just brilliant for them in the middle order, won them games. So that's the WBBL as well, is when you've got players, you know, sort of, you know, senior in age and experience and still going, no, I can come back in and have an opportunity. It just, it speaks volumes.
Any teams that surprised you with how they approach their overseas signings?
Sixers straight up. You know, when you don't have Sophie Eccleston, I mean, you can't just replace Sophie Eccleston, we all know that. But the signing of Chloe Tryon as a person running the draft, I went, okay, yeah.
I can't picture her in magenta for some reason.
Oh, you think it's a colour thing?
Oh, I just never thought the Sixers would pick her up. I just never was really on the radar.
And I mean, she's a superb player. We've seen her play exceptionally well in the WBBL around the world for South Africa. And I was sort of thinking, you know, what kind of player do they want in those middle overs with the bat and the ball? And she can certainly do it. She hasn't been in, I don't think, her best form over the 100 with Southern Brave of late. So an opportunity for it, and for the Thunder last year certainly didn't, you know, the return wasn't great. Yeah. And even if I look at it and I think, even if you're averaging sort of around 17, that's okay if you're coming in at 7, but you want to be Laura Harris striking 200, which is probably where it hasn't quite been for her. And she's handy with left arm orthodox spin, so it gives you that option again. But it's certainly not like for like, and obviously they weren't going for complete like for like. But that was probably one that really raised my eyebrows a little bit.
I'm sure Lottie's, she's got something.
Oh, 100%. She's going to make me sound like an absolute moron.
They've got plans.
So that one surprised me. Danny White going to Perth Scorchers. I know she's now pulled out. That was another little bit of an eyebrows raiser there. Because then what that also does is you're like, well, she'll open.
Yeah.
With Moons,
yeah.
And then the spanner in the works now that obviously they're looking at pushing Soph Devine down the list. So that changes things.
On the Scorchers, Nat Siverbrunt potentially coming over to play in the Orange.
Yeah.
How big would that be for the league?
Yeah, huge. Yep.
Good player.
Yeah. Not too bad. I think the two names that didn't come up in the original draft were Mundina and Nat Siverbrunt. Now, if you've got a competition and it's only those, you know, two massive names that don't come, you're doing all right, aren't you?
Yeah.
But for Nat then to turn around and say, no, she's right to go. We saw her play with the Melbourne Stars. She took that blinding catch at that point. She just does it. She does it all for fun. And it's almost like every time I see her play, she's finding just little ways of actually getting better and better. And so I think the environment in Perth will suit her down at the tee. She gets to play with Mooney and Sophie Devine, so that's
also
a pretty good combo,
really scary.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So Beck Grundy in her first coaching role,
goodness.
She'll be like,
"How
good?" You got a bit more to do, Beck, but it's a handy start.
Yeah, obviously they had to get special permission from Cricket Australia to bring her over because she wasn't in the draft.
Yeah.
But you can kind of see why you don't say no to a Nat Siverbrunt when she turns around and says, "I'm fit."
Yeah, I can see why you wouldn't say no to it, because you do. You want the best players in the competition, but you've also got to be, you know, as other teams, you get a bit peeved, aren't you? So, you know, if I was coaching one of the other sides, I'd be like, hang on a minute, you've got rules for a purpose so that we can, you know, elevate the sport through a draft and get people on side and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And then you tweak it for...
I know
one of the world's best players, so I can see both sides to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the Sydney Thunder, Mel, have signed 4 overseas players. So it sounds like...
They're greedy, aren't they?
Yeah.
Lisa Kindly back in the comms, she's like, you.
Yeah. So LJ was chatting to her. It sounds like they might rotate Bell and Atapattu. What do you think about their approach?
Oh, it was interesting when you guys said that. I wasn't probably picking that to start with. That might be... I mean, there's so many different layers, as you guys know, to players coming out. So whether or not ECB have potentially said we don't want Lauren Bell playing the full competition with a big summer coming up and World Cup and all those sorts of things. And it's certainly not like the swap. It might be an opposition thing. You know, Atapattu can come in left-hander to certain attacks. So it gives what it does give them, though, is fantastic flexibility.
Totally.
And I don't think we've seen the best of Chamari in the WBBL. Certainly seen it internationally against Australia, England of late, that series over there. Jay, if she can bring that, that's pretty impressive.
I was chatting to Lisa yesterday and she mentioned she wants to actually try and get the best out of Chamari in a league situation.
It's a really good forecourt coach, isn't it?
She's almost taking this on as a thing she wants to try and unlock while having her here. And I guess it's kind of clever of them to go, we've got all this salary cap left over because we've got a really young list, so we'll bring in a fourth international and just see how that works.
Yeah, completely agree. Because we focus on the players so much to say where they want to improve their games all the time. It's the same for coaches. Like, you know, they get in there, they've got their grand plans and all those sorts of things, but there'll be pieces of the puzzle that they want to say, yeah, here's this player that we haven't really quite seen the best of. This is my opportunity to potentially unlock that. And if they do, that's great for the Thunder, but it's also then great for world cricket too.
Totally. Mel, if you can pick one overseas player, we've just spoken about a few, one overseas player that you reckon is going to take the whole WBBL competition by storm, who's it going to be?
By storm?
Yeah.
Well, I was actually really happy when Danny Gibson got picked up.
Okay.
And I'm not saying take the competition by storm, but I think people just haven't seen it too much. So I think she will certainly cause a few eyebrow raisings over the time. She came out when England needed 2 off 5 at Lord's in the recent Ashes series. And it was her first ever bat out in T20 against Australia, jam-packed Lord's. And it's on the line, you know, another wicket here and everything gets a little bit tighter. And first ball, reverse sweep, win the game, thank you very much.
Bye.
You know. And you're like, okay, there we go, that's a little bit different. She opened up for the London Spirit, really good square of the wickets. I think she'll be okay on the sort of quicker Aussie wickets. And got a really strong action as well, can get the ball to talk a little bit. So I think it's just it's a really nice combination. I think a few people sort of thought, well, isn't that the Andrew Dotton kind of thing? But this is the shift in the women's game too, isn't it? If you've got someone in the England system playing regularly all the way throughout in comparison to, you know, world-class player like DeAndre Dotton, but isn't in a system and has all the perks around not just playing, then you're going to go someone like a Danny Gibson.
Was there anyone else you were really excited to see picked up in the draft?
The other one is, I suppose it's the backstories to it. So Tammy Beaumont gets dropped from England and really, really wants to play T20 World Cup and is basically told, you've got to go away and show us that you've got a better strike rate at the top of the order. And she's done that. Like, I was lucky enough to be in Cardiff when she hit 100 and 100.
Oh, yeah.
And she was hitting the ball around the park for
fun.
Like, it was just...
cool.
And so you think, you know, you've got a T20 World Cup coming up at the back end of next year. And so if it's the backstory more so than watching Tammy bat, is how this player has taken on the challenge of saying... I would be interesting when... Melbourne Renegades come up against the Sydney Thunder because it's Lisa Kightley that dropped her from the T20 squad as well. But she takes them apart.
I think there could be
a byplay there as well. So, so I'd love to just to see how that kind of unfolds as it goes along.
Yeah. So. Marizan Kapp in lime green. Do you reckon it'll suit her? Well, and how do you reckon she'll go with their young squad?
I don't think I'm the colour person in this because you've got about magenta and
dry. I know. It doesn't fit in my brain, but I'm just looking.
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Kappy looks good in any colour.
True.
And I say that because she goes to any team and she nails it.
Yep.
So she was great at the Sixers. She was great at the Perth Scorchers. She goes over, you know, the Surrey Stars into the Oval Invincibles. Her form with the Delhi Capitals was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Multitude of colours. She doesn't care. Just give me whatever top you want. I will do the job for you. And I think even for Kappy too, I mean, she's world-class all-rounder, bowling all-rounder, but I think it's her batting over the last 12, 18 months that's been, you know, probably something that you know, the Thunder are really, really excited about as well. Because, you know, I'm very excited about the Litchfield summer coming up.
Yeah.
So then you've got, you know, you've got the sort of the nous and leadership of and calmness of Heather Knight around it, who she was such a big part of their title win. And then you've got Cappy to be coming in there as well.
It's, could be a bit of a dark horse, Thunder.
Could be, yep. Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. Yep.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the internationals, but what Aussies are you most looking forward to seeing this season that you think might take a big step forward in their games?
Yeah, I think I've chatted to you guys about this player a few times, and I'm rapt that world cricket now has tournaments in play where if you're not in the Australian team, you can go away and play your trade and get better and better and better.
Against the best players in the world.
This is it. And so there is still, I still think there's a spot for a player like this in every team. And I think if she played in any other country, she would have been in probably for the last couple of years and going. But Laura Harris for me is just. And so she went over and played with Wellington with Charlene Knott. She's another one I'm really, really keen to see this year. And one of those innings was just, I was watching it on the live stream going, this can't be serious. Is this a highlights tape of her entire season? Like, this is crazy. So she does it there, gets a chance to play in different conditions over in the Caribbean Premier League too. Yeah. And, you know, I suppose the challenge for her is not just coming in at the back end of the innings and doing what she does, but potentially maybe if she just gets a little bit more time again, can she balance that really well and just, you know, really take things on? So if we records are going to fall in the WBBL this year, I have a feeling Laris is going to be one of them. Yeah.
Another thing we're incredibly excited for is seeing Meg Lanning back for the Melbourne Stars. I'm sure all cricket fans are stoked with that. Do you think the Stars line up with Meg Lanning back leading the charge? Do you reckon they can have a crack at top four?
I think they can, actually. And I like it because she's got familiarity, and that's a word I usually say I shouldn't say because I always stumble over it, but I got it out there. There we go. Pat on the back, Jones. With Capsy at the top of the order, so they played at Delhi Capitals together. Yeah. And having a chat to Meg over there during the tournament, you know, she's a big fan of her style of play.
Okay.
But I think Capsy loves batting with Meg as well.
Oh, cool.
So you can sort of, you know, you can extend that for a few overs. You're hitting some big runs. Maya Bouchier is, she had her breakout last 12 months. She was fantastic in the 100 for the Southern Brave under the tutelage of Charlotte Edwards. And she's now broken back into the England team. It's going to be a reasonably consistent player. I think they're really looking for her to be solid in their team for the T20 World Cup. And then Dunkley, who we probably didn't see the best of in the Ashes, but had a good 100 and is that style of player that can look a little bit awkward at times, but then you look up and she's, you know, 30 off 17 and you're like, where do we bother with that? So, you know, Meg in with those three English players who know each other really, really well as well. And then, jumping the gun here with my predictions and things, but I also then look, you've got three exceptional seamers that are really coming through in Garth, Flintoff and Sutherland. It's a pretty
strong
good combo.
Squad.
So,
have you heard or seen much of Millie Illingworth?
EMP player.
Okay.
Yes.
We are huge fans of the Under-19 World Cup.
Yeah.
I tell you
bright
what.
Future.
I haven't seen much of other 19s, but it's funny. We had we were chatting to the 1973 women's team the other day, and Rayleigh Thompson, and so you talk about back when they first toured for the World Cup, but you also talk about their excitement about all the young kids coming through, and so many of these women are still engaged in club cricket in some way, which is brilliant. And Rail said, I was watching her bowl and she was just, I mean, she's good. She was just putting it there. I said to her, no, come on. And so it gave her a bit of a rev up. This would have been a couple of years ago, some sort of, you know, 16, 17 year old going, I've got a 70, almost 80 year old woman telling me to get going. How embarrassing is that? Right, let's get into it.
She was held back.
I know, right. So, and again, this is the beauty of the competition, isn't it, where you see some of these young kids getting an opportunity.
Totally.
Yeah, it's super, super excited to see that unfold.
And one of the maybe surprises for some fans we have seen is come from the Strikers, who, following the retirement of Tegan McFarlane, have decided to look inwards to replace her, and rather than drafting or signing a new wicketkeeper, are going to be handing the gloves to Bridget Patterson. What have you made of that tactical decision?
Yes, I've been thinking through this. I'm still a little bit gobsmacked, to be honest. And like, as you know, I do a lot of commentary with Julia Price. Yep. And so when wicketkeepers hear about it, they get their backs up and they fire up. So I'll take a little bit of the fired up Price and bring that in, and I'll take a little bit of the calmness of other things. I mean, T20 cricket, if you've got a keeper, if you've got it like a Beth Mooney,
yep,
who, you know, doesn't keep for Australia, no, but is keeping reasonably consistently, mm, and is bad at the top of the order, and a Lisa Healy, you're flying, aren't you? Because you've got an extra, get an exposition to sort of, yeah, to fill. But if you're then picking someone, you're also going to realise that the keeper is still such a vital part, you know, to the cog of this wheel of, yeah, things working really, really well. They manage so much out in the field. They're great support for the captain in terms, mm-hmm, of angles, yeah, bowling rotations, getting the speed of the game through, obviously catches, stumpings, run outs, all that sort of stuff. So if you're not keeping consistently, and then you've been given the gloves when you're also wanting to come in and really, you know, stamp, yeah, your mark with the bat as well. I saw she got 100 the other day, which is great. But you want to give your players the best opportunity at their first skill set too.
Yeah.
And then you take away a brilliant fielder.
I know.
Like that needs to get covered. Yeah, covered in the outfield. So there's too many things where I just go, it just doesn't feel right for me, for the strikers. And it actually, and then I think because of that one change, I think the ripple effect goes quite wide. Now, she can come out and keep for, you know, and she can be picked up for the Australian team, you know, probably now, and everything will be fine. But, I that's a massive concern for me for the Lions strikers.
I wonder how she's feeling about it. I wonder.
Well, it'll be awful after that. Go, Bridget, you'll be fine.
I mean, the coach reckons she's very stoked to take it on. I mean, they're not going to say anything else, are they?
Yeah. But, I don't think that wouldn't be the case either.
Yeah.
But it's a tough art.
And it is, yeah.
It's central. There's massive focus.
Totally. Yeah. It's a talking point. She'll be feeling it coming into the season.
Exactly. And it's one of those things too. You're there for the bowlers too, so you know you're in a position. Yeah. So if, you know, Willow's knocking on the door of Aussie selection or something like that, and you've got a stumping on it, you know, all those sort of things can play in your mind. I'm glad I'm in the commentary box, not out there in the middle.
Mel, hot seat again. Have you got a top four for us?
I don't have a top four. I've got maybe
a top eight.
This has been the hardest one.
Yeah.
And I think because of the draft, and that's what the whole draft is supposed to come and do, sort of equalise things a little bit and give the competition, you know, real opportunity to have quality games all the way through. I think the WBBL probably, so I'm thinking out loud here, of all the competitions I've sort of seen, has the best sort of team-for-team sort of competition. You usually get things going through for, you know, back end of overs, which is really good. If I went through from last year's ladder, so the Sixers finished first. And they've got some good players, but Charlotte Edwards is coaching your team. She will get your team through the finals.
They're the top
That's
four.
Just what Charlotte Edwards does. So
doesn't know any different.
I can't see that changing. They've got some okay players there.
Got some Ash Gardeners. Police Perrys.
And the other one was Erin Burns, like Laura Harris, who's still been playing around the world quite consistently as well. So I think they'll make top four. Adelaide Strikers. Title winners, runners-up the year before. I was on the bandwagon the year they lost to the Perth Scorchers. I thought they were sort of humming then, and then they come through and win it last year. There's something, and maybe it is because we've just spoken about the Bridget Patterson piece. There's something just not quite. Yeah, I can't put my finger on it. I still think they'll make top four.
Okay.
But this, yeah.
How do you reckon they'll go being the hunted?
Shooter will love it. Yeah. She'll be like, bring it on.
She will. You're right.
Absolutely. And another challenge for Tali McGrath, who is, you know, still reasonably a newish sort of captain, to manage that piece as well, because there'll be even just different media around it and all that sort of thing. So, so I'm not really helping your podcast here about the why, but there's, you know, something that's just not sitting right with me.
So Heat finished third on the table last year, I think.
Yep. And this is now where I'm... This is my maybe.
Okay.
Maybe basket at the moment. And a little bit Georgia Redmayne coming back from the injury. We keep coming back to keepers this year, don't we? And the importance of that now. She's back keeping, which is great.
Yeah.
And she's such an important position. So they pick up Bess Heath as the cover there. And I think there's a few eyebrow raises about her selection in the draft. But you sort of look at her at the back end of
the 100, and she'd come in around 6, and she'd be 20 off 10, 20 off 11 yeah. kind of thing, and good against spin. So I think that's sort of a little bit of coverage there. And then they pick up Mignon from Hobart, who's their MVP, which probably yeah. raises an eyebrow as well, doesn't it? How you lose the MVP yeah. To a team. Gracie, probably not in the best of form, didn't play in the T20s.
Have a lot of batting in that team.
Yeah. I think when you look at, and maybe this is just the way in which teams are going about it or the development of the game, is that most of the teams, you look at it and you go, they've got the batting covered.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you sort of go, have they got the seamers covered? Have they got the spinners covered? And that's where I think the top four probably decided will be more so on the bowling combinations than the batting combinations.
The other finalist from last year was the Hobart Hurricanes.
Don't think they'll make the four this year.
Okay.
I've been wrong many, many times right throughout
so
WBBL.
So the beauty of it.
They wanted pace. They went after pace and they got Shabnam Ismail. That's a massive, massive pickup. But also there's, I know with these competitions you have players coming in and out all the time, but you still want that sort of core group of players to be, you know, reasonably consistent. So you lose someone like a Mignon who has worked in well with the team and it just unsettles the boat a little bit. Lizelle Lee has been, you know, she's been handy, but she's not, you know, is she going to be your consistent player that's going to go big at the top of the order all the time? And if that doesn't happen, who then steps up after that? So that would be my question around the Hobart Hurricane. So, a few homegrown players, you know, your Peter Grahams, Careys, Villani, Stranos are going to have to really, really step up.
Yeah. Mm. So we've got the Renegades and the Stars.
Okay, so I'm liking the Melbourne Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Meg back, and she's already hitting runs in WNCL.
Yeah,
and
great to see.
Yeah, you steely-eyed Meg Lanning is one of the best things in the world to see. That's putting too much pressure on me here, Meg, but I would love to see a big season. And as I mentioned before, the three English players who know each other really well can sort of just slot in there. But then for me it's that excitement around, Flintoff, we've seen with the bat, she's, you know, developing with the ball, has been around the Australian A squad and Australian team now as well. Kim Garth doesn't get picked up in the WPL, then gets over there as a replacement, takes Fifa. Kimmy does what Kimmy does, you know, and then Annabelle Southern coming off her breakout and, you know, UK series with bat and ball. All of that just sort of ticks a lot of boxes for me. Probably the one is that they don't have that serious frontline international spinner.
Yeah.
So Capsie bowls a bit of off-ease, you know, got Sophie Day, which is great. But who's going to come over, you know, and do some damage with that? So that would be the question around them. But I'm liking them.
We'll revisit mid-season.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think the Gades can join them? They've obviously got some big, big names in there.
Yeah, well, if I've just said that I like the overseas players the best, and they can't really not pick them before. So that would be weird,
that's a
wouldn't
challenge,
it?
Though.
But
you
it is a challenge.
Fit them in.
Like. Yeah.
And they probably have to gel.
That's
it's
the
not
thing.
Just having the big
so
names.
It's completely right, LJ, is that it's all well and good to say that Core, Matthews and Beaumont are three players and
great players
in fantastic form. But you're right, they have to gel, they have to work within the club, they've got to travel well, it's a different competition over here on that front. They've got to put in efforts in the field with their leadership and all that sort of side of things as well. So it could be that they do have, in my books, the three best international or overseas players, yet still don't make the finals. Love Helmo as a coach. I think he's really primed for this season. I think he's got a few things in his bag of tricks.
Yeah,
even knowing that Soph Molyneux isn't there. So and the other one too is Georgia Wareham with the bat. So it actually extends their batting lineup a little bit more. And obviously she's fantastic with the ball.
Last one for you, Mel. Which team overall do you reckon will surprise a few fans? And that can be in a good way or a bad way.
Ooh. Oh, I'm a glass half full girl.
That's good.
So we'll go good way.
Yeah.
probably the Thunder.
Okay.
I think if you look at the team for the last couple of years. They've been hamstrung a little bit when you know, they played Blacktown for a few rounds. It's not the most conducive to.
Yeah.
And so it puts you on the back foot a little bit and it takes you a while to sort of get going. I think, you know, with Kyder's coming back into the fold, Phoebe coming off that 100 competition where she was top scorer for
Northern Superchargers and what she's already done for Australia this summer. That's exciting. And Heather Knight is a player that sort of, I mean, she's England captain, she's fantastic, but what she does for teams away from the middle is phenomenal. So so I think what she'll be able to do is actually elevate a lot of the other players. So you've got Hannah Darlington's there and all those sorts of players. I think she'll be able to help get the best out of them.
It's exciting. Mm. Mel Jones, always a pleasure to chat to you.
I sat on the fence quite a bit throughout that.
So. Nowhere better than this room. So thank you for joining us, Mel, on the Scoop podcast.
Thank you.
We can't wait to watch how it all unfolds.
Thanks for the venue location. I'm going to go off and shop now.
He leads away. Australia are away. Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.